Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
What did James say in the book of James? Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God is that you would take care of widows and orphans. That's pure and undefiled. Instead of trying to be the most popular, the greatest, right? That's what they're thinking about, the greatest. Jesus is like, if you minister to this child, you minister to me. You receive this child, you receive me.
To really be a Jesus follower, we have to surrender our lives to Him, surrender our pride. Jesus hung out with the humble. He was a servant to the poorest of the poor. How can we practically follow that example? With more from Luke 9, 43 through 50, here's Robert Furrow.
Have you ever heard of the undeniable historical facts about Jesus? People will usually say 5 undeniable facts about Jesus or 7 undeniable facts about Jesus. These are apologists that come up with this. And scholars will agree that these are undeniable facts. The most important one, like I said, sometimes there'll be 3, sometimes 5, sometimes 7. I've heard as many as 20, okay? So one of the first undeniable facts is that Jesus existed. In the early 1900s, there was a group called the mythicists. They believed Jesus never existed. There virtually is not a scholar today who will say that Jesus didn't exist. If you think, no, he didn't exist, it was just pretend, then you're going against science, man. You better get it together, because science, history, scholarly work all tell us that Jesus existed. Another one of the undeniable facts, and this is really important, is that he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. We know that. Again, virtually every scholar says it. Because Tacitus, who was a Roman historian, wrote of Jesus being crucified. Philo, a Jewish historian. None of these guys had reasons to add in Jesus into their writings. Romans certainly didn't. Philo didn't. Josephus didn't. And we know Josephus was tampered with, by the way. When you read Josephus' statement, there's one about John the Baptist that wasn't tampered with, and there's one about Jesus that was. It eventually ends up saying in Josephus' writings, and indeed he was the Christ. And we know that that was a later Christian tampering with it. But it doesn't mean we can't get back to the heart of what Josephus wrote about Jesus, who was doing miracles, who people thought he was the Messiah. Then somebody tampered with it and said, if he could be called a man. And you can see where they tamper with it. And if you go back and study that whole section, go back and study how we know we get back to the original writings of Josephus. Now, that's just a few of the, there's more. There's more ancient writers. And in fact, many people believed before 1961 that Pontius Pilate didn't even exist until archaeology found a dedication stone to a Tiberium in Caesarea by the Sea. A Tiberium is a building to worship Tiberius. And Pontius Pilate dedicated it, and we found the dedication stone. And he called himself a prefect, and there was also, before 1961, people criticizing the Bible because they said in that day people didn't call the Roman governors prefects. Didn't happen until a generation later, but on the stone they found, archaeology, it says prefect. And so it was proven. So we know Jesus was indeed crucified. We know that he suffered scourging. We know that they thought he was the Christ. These are undeniable facts that history, historians tell us. And so this cannot be easily dismissed. If you are trying to dismiss Jesus, if you're saying, I'm going to look at him, but I'm going to dismiss him because of these things, you cannot dismiss him because of those things. All right? So now we move just to the next topic. So, and they seem like they happen directly. And that is that all of a sudden, it says in verse 46, then a dispute rose among them as to which one of them would be the greatest. And if this did happen after Jesus is talking about his death, let this sink deep down into your ears. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of men. The next thing that happens on the road, I don't know who was the first one to say it. We always think it's Peter. It's got to be Peter, right? I think I'm greater than you guys. I'm going to be the greatest. I'm Jesus' right-hand man. I'm going to be the greatest in the kingdom. I think Judas probably piped in. Come on, Peter, country boy. I'm from the city. I'm going to be the leader. James and John, no, I'm going to be the leader. No, I'm going to be the leader. Arguing over who's going to be the greatest. And Jesus is thinking, I'm going to leave everything to these guys. I'm dying in a few months. These guys are going to take over the world. And so Jesus perceived the thoughts of their hearts, And he took a little child and set him by him and said to them, whoever receives this little child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. In other words, he's trying to tell them, your ministry is not about greatness. Your ministry is about ministering to the most needy. Jesus said, if you give a glass of water to a child, you won't lose your reward. God wants us to minister to those who are lowly, to those who are hurting, to those who are impoverished, to those who are, by the world standards, nobodies. I'm afraid for the church that is going the other direction. The church gets really excited when someone like Brian Welch gets saved, or Justin Bieber gets saved. I'm supposed to be laughs. Couldn't hold it in. I have no reason to think he's not saved, just so you know, all right? I know that that was a response to people getting excited about Justin Bieber getting saved. Kanye West, okay? And I tell you that I get scared when I hear that people like that get saved. And I pray, God, please help them get discipled well. Please, because I've seen B.J. Thomas surrender his life to the Lord, write a Christian album. The church accepts him in, and then him turning back on Christ. I've seen Bob Dylan write a couple of Christian albums. You gotta serve somebody. Sorry, just had to do it one time. Who left the Lord? Who walked away for whatever reasons? Maybe never really was a true convert. I think one thing that happens is these guys are so high profile that people grab a hold of them thinking, man, we're gonna be able to get the world saved because we got all these high profile people getting saved. It's interesting to me that Jesus didn't go out and find the most high profile person he could find and set him next to him and say, if you minister to them, you minister to me. The Bible tells us to be associated with the humble. That means that we don't want to rub elbows with the most prominent, but we want to find people who people don't want to be around. And that our ministry is to be to the poor, to the mentally deficient, to those that are considered to be humble. When we endeavor to get around people who are really popular, we are not following through with what Christ is telling us to do. There's a real blessing in ministering to children and giving a glass of water to them. And it's my prayer, it's my desire that as a church, that our ministries would move more and more towards the humble, towards the hungry, towards the impoverished, towards children in need. What did James say in the book of James? Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God is that you would take care of widows and orphans. That's pure and undefiled. Instead of trying to be the most popular, the greatest, right? That's what they're thinking about, the greatest. Jesus is like, if you minister to this child, you minister to me. You receive this child, you receive me. And if you receive me, you receive the Father. And then it says, for he who is least among you will be the greatest. Just tells us not to try to be the greatest one out there. Don't do anything out of selfish ambition. I quoted earlier. Jesus is trying to get them to get to the right headspace about what ministry is going to be about with them. He never rebuked them for wanting to be greatest, but he redirected them often. So we get to the last of the three statements, and this has to do with people who believe differently than we do. People who might not be a part of our group. People who may not be part of Calvary Chapel, part of Calvary Tucson, first of all, maybe, then part of Calvary Chapel in a bigger picture, and then part of evangelicals in a bigger picture. We look at that and we think, this is our in-group, these are our people, these are who we belong to, okay? So it's John pipes up now, which Jesus is like, again, you know, be the least to be the greatest. And John's like, hey, Lord, John's the youngest of the disciples. John said, Master, we saw someone casting demons out in your name, or cast out demons in your name, and we forbade them because he does not follow us. Jesus said to him, do not forbid him, for he who is not against us is on our side. Cults, you're talking about Scientology or Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses, other cults that are out there. What they do is it's an us only. We really have the gospel and we really have the truth. And if you want to be saved, you're gonna have to be part of us. That's what cults do. That's not the church. There's going to be differences among us. We're going to believe in the things that we should believe in, the things that we should, there are hills we should die on. The divinity of the Trinity should be something we, a hill that we say, this is what marks real Christianity. The death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus, the virgin birth of Christ, all of those are things that if somebody says, I don't believe in that, then we can go, I don't know that you're really a part of us. But if they believe something different, there are Methodists and there are Lutherans and there are Presbyterians and there are Pentecostals and there are Charismatics and there are Catholics and there are Anglicans and there are Orthodox Greeks and there are true believers in every single one of them. And when I'm talking to a brother or sister in Christ, and I have a guy that I talk to on a regular basis, I used to play racquetball with him, and we would discuss, and I'm going to use his terms, okay? Because he would constantly tell me, we don't pray to Mary. Stop saying we pray to Mary, he would say. He said, we ask Mary to pray for us. And I would always be like, he was a lawyer. He is a lawyer. And I would always say to him, how do you ask her to pray for you? Is that prayer? When you're asked her to pray for you? Seems to me a lawyer, you know, it's kind of a good lawyer argument. But that doesn't mean he's not saved. In fact, I told him, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about Jesus. I kind of grilled him on whether or not he'd received Jesus as a Savior and really was born again, really had been transformed. So there are Catholics that aren't saved and Protestants that aren't saved. There's this is going to shock you, people in Calvary chapels that aren't saved because they think that they're okay because they go to church, or they think they're okay because they believe that God exists, or they're playing a game. They're not really living for God. They're just putting on a pretense. It happens all the time. It happens in the very best churches in the world. So we should not divide over certain things. I think there are differences among us so that we can dig into the Word of God to know better. When I talk to someone who disagrees with me, let's just go back to the analogy of asking Mary to pray for you. I don't think that's biblical. I'm willing to go there. I really am. If I could find it in the script, if you can really show me in the scriptures, because those are my authority, that praying to Mary is a good thing, that asking Mary to pray for you is a good thing, then I'm there. But I haven't found it. And if you dig in and go, you know what? It's not here. Maybe this is church tradition that isn't based on scripture. And as a Catholic, you should stop asking Mary to pray for you because it's not biblical. I'm not saying anything about you being a Catholic or not being a true Christian. I'm just simply saying if a practice by a church is not biblical, then fine. We can look at it, but we shouldn't say they're not Christians. I can't be with them. I can't talk to them. They don't believe in pre-trib rapture. I can't go to that church. They believe in the rapture. These are the kind of things you hear today. And this is what Jesus is speaking against. He's saying in the body of Christ, there's going to be all kinds of different people that believe different things. Let's make the main things of Christianity important. Learn to die on the hill that you're willing to die on for doctrine, which is necessary in certain things, but also willing to let other things go and say, I'm glad you love Christ. I'm glad you're born again. Churches that control people and try to get them to only go to their church because they believe what's right are cult-like. There are churches that are cult-like. Be very careful with the way I'm saying it. There are cults that control people by, we have the only truth. You got to come through us. Then there are churches that will say, we have the only truth, but they're teaching real church stuff, but they will tell you, we're the ones that only have the only way. If you go anywhere else, you're going for dessert. We're the only ones that have the meat of the Word of God. That's an analogy I heard used once, by the way. So if you're in a church like that, there's a reason they're trying to control you. There's a reason that they're trying to make sure you stay and don't leave. When people come to me and say, you know, Robert, the time at the church has come to an end, we're going to leave. I think they always want me to go, why? But I don't. I ask them, where are you going to go? And they'll say, well, I'm thinking about this church. And I'll just encourage them. Go and serve there. Love those people there. And go and serve them. And sometimes they'll be like, don't you want to know why we're leaving? Well, okay, tell me. Go ahead. Tell me. Maybe I really need to hear it, right? It would be massive arrogance if you think I don't need to hear it. So maybe I need to hear it. But if people leave, I don't care. I'm not saying that it's not important. I'm just saying I don't care. As long as they're going to a church. Now, somebody comes to me and goes, we're leaving the church and we're leaving Christ. Then I'm devastated. But if you're going to work in another church, may you take whatever God's taught you here and go use it there for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sectarianism is a bad thing. That's we've got the right way, nobody else does. We're the only ones doing it right. Well, you're not. Elijah had that right. I'm the only one that hasn't bowed my knee to Baal. God's like, I have 700 who haven't bowed their knee to Baal. You think you know it all? So all of these things help us to begin to get an understanding of what kind of ministry we should be doing and what the flavor of our ministry should be, the kind of things that Jesus is telling us to do. That's how we want to direct how we minister. Not how we want to minister, not how we're desiring to, but following the very things that Jesus says. And may we put these things into practice as we endeavor to do the work that Christ has called us to do. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you so much that we can take time to look at these three different topics that look like they're random, but we know that you are speaking to your disciples, getting them ready for your departure. And we pray that now it's extremely applicable to us because we're here now and you have departed, given us the Holy Spirit, and we are in your church looking for your direction. We don't want to do what we want to do. We want to do what you want us to do, giving that to us through your word. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. But if you're here today and you have never been born again, Jesus said in John chapter 3 that you must be born again. You must be born again. He didn't say it's an option. If you would like to be transformed and changed, you can. He said, you must be born again or you will not see the kingdom of heaven. And then he said this, that which is born of the flesh is flesh and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So you have to have two births. You have to be born of the flesh, and the crazy thing is everybody in here has been. I know that because you're standing in front of me with your heart beating and blood flowing through your veins. You've been born of the flesh. But have you been born of the spirit? Has your spirit been born? If your spirit has not been born, you can't interact with God in a profound way. Maybe in your flesh you could call out to him, but not in a profound way. Jesus said in John chapter 4, the very next chapter, those who worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. So you have to have your spirit brought to life. And this is the transformation that happens. And all of a sudden you've got a baby spirit that needs to grow and mature. And then you can be led by your spirit. And you want to follow the things of the spirit and feed your spirit, because your spirit is going to fight against your flesh and your flesh is going to fight against your spirit, according to the book of Galatians. So if you've never had your spirit brought to life, if you've never received him as your savior, which is very biblical, John 1:12, as many as receive him, he gives the right to be called a child of God. That means that you can say, I want you in my life. I want to live for you. And when you do that, you're not saying, Lord, I want to live for you and I need you as a self-help to help me kind of make. Nope. When you are inviting Jesus in, you're laying down your life completely. You're saying, I'm no longer going to live for me. I'm now going to live for you. My life will be directed by you. I will live for you. And Jesus said, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you save it. So if you're here today and you want to give your life to Christ, you're ready now to find out why you were created, what God created you for, to find the peace and the joy that is with him, but to also find the sacrifice that comes from truly living for Christ, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Right where you are, just raise your hand. I want to take time to acknowledge your hand and pray for you. God bless you, sir. There in the back. That's great. God bless you, sir. That's awesome. I've learned I need to slow down a little bit as I scan the room. God bless you, sir. That's great. Anyone else? You know, the Bible says in John 6:44, no one can come to the Son unless the Father draws him. That means that if you're thinking about coming to Christ now, that's because God's drawing you. No wonder Hebrews says, if God's speaking to you today, then don't harden your heart. Because how do you know the next time he's going to be speaking to you? Don't harden your heart against him. All right. If you're online as well, you can respond. You can simply say, I want Christ in my life. If you're listening on the radio, you don't know what you tuned into. We're giving people a chance to get saved, to give their life to Christ, to be born again. You can say, I want Christ. So I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, and you can put your hands down. I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I give myself to you. And I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. How exciting. And listen, if you raised your hand and prayed that prayer, your life is going to be transformed. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away. Everything becomes new. We've got a Bible and a new believers packet we want to give you. Just go over to our new believers table. There's a team of people there that'll pray with you, give you those things. It'll help you to know what you do next. If you're online listening on the radio, you can send us an email to saved@calvarytucson.com, or you can text us ready for Jesus to 94,000. The link you get back this time will be our new believers card. Fill that out and we'll have people who will get in touch with you. We just want to make sure that you get all the information that you need, that you can come out of the starting blocks running really well for Jesus. I'd like to pray for you. And as we think about those around us and maybe our own ministry, and how we should pursue those who are humble. May you think about people around you that you know that need Christ, that might not be the ones that people would pick out to go and share Christ with, but that God would have us go and share the gospel with. So the Bible says, lift up holy hands and pray. They're made holy by the blood of the Lamb. I'm gonna ask you guys to do that and pray for the people that you know. And while you pray for them, I'm gonna pray for you. Father, I wanna pray for all of those that are here. Lord, I pray that you would bless them. I pray you would draw them closer to you. Lord, I pray that our heart for ministry would be your heart for ministry. That this is not our ministry, we're continuing your ministry. We've been invited by you to be a part of what you're doing. And Lord, I pray that we would think of those that we know who are humble, who are in need, who are impoverished, who are struggling, who may be ill, who may be mentally ill. Lord, we think of them, we pray for them, pray that you give us opportunities to share the gospel to them. I also pray, Lord, for those that need to be healed here today, touch and heal. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus. I pray that we would walk close to you. I pray for those that are struggling in their faith and maybe not answering the questions that they have, that they would search those things out. Thank you for all you do. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. May you find yourself filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by God, led by him, to be able to minister to those around you that you might never have thought of ministering to. May God open up those doors, and by the power of the Spirit, may his gospel transform the lives of people around you.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We hope that our verse-by-verse studies truly help you to see that God is real. He wants a personal relationship with you, and his word is life-changing. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. For our local listeners, we invite you to join us at one of our two campuses. Our East Campus at Speedway and Camino Seco meets Saturdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus, south of Palo Verde and I-10, meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you prefer, you can watch our service at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. If Practical Christian Living has blessed you and you'd like to donate, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a recurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? We'd love to hear from you. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. We want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living TV Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on KGUN 9. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living.
Do you love Jesus? Do you want to dig deeper in your walk with God? Then you are a great fit for Reach College. With enrollment opportunities to attend as a student or an auditor, the courses challenge you to analyze your way of thinking as you grow in your walk with Jesus. Find out more at thereachcollege.org. That is thereachcollege.org.